Often when we go into a new area, one of the questions, if we're going to be there over a Sunday, will go something like this. Is there a sound church in the area? How do you answer that question? Well, usually there's kind of an unspoken code for the answer that you're looking for. And it deals primarily with how that church chooses to use the funds in their treasury, what kind of works they're going to be involved in and such as that. But this morning, I would encourage us to think about two things with this question. There's great danger, first of all, of passing judgment on a church unfairly. Sometimes, by the appearance of things, we can tell pretty much what's going on there. But secondly, and perhaps more importantly, it brings us to judge soundness on one thing, that we are simply kind of getting rid of everything else, looking at one thing, and determining a church's strength based on that. This morning, our lesson is in no way going to be exhaustive. But I want us to think about this question of really what it means to be a sound church. And let's begin by what we mean by the word sound. Now, normally what goes on here is we have a wrong idea. As I mentioned just a second ago, likely when we're talking about soundness, we're talking about what a church does not do. As I was preparing for this lesson, I came across two or three articles that had the title somewhere in it of a sound church. And I was very curious about the first one that I read because the first two-thirds of the article talked about what a sound church is not. And so I learned as I read it that likely if you have a large number, if you have a popular preacher, or if you have a nice building, you're already under suspicion. That was the main point that the guy was making, and I'm sure he had some valid research on that from his own past, but I realize that's exactly how we go about making this judgment. We talk about all the nots, all the don'ts, all the things not being done, but that is not how we based soundness. So then let's take a look at what the word means in the New Testament. We never find the word sound in association with church in the New Testament. We don't find that, but we do find the word sound several times over. I'm not going to go to length at these, but just to give you an idea, on three occasions, we find the Apostle Paul in writing to Timothy and Titus talking about sound doctrine. And something very similar to that, as we look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we find sound teaching. And we also find in 1 and 2 Timothy both the idea of sound words. It's my understanding that all of these things basically mean the same, that whether we're talking about doctrine or whether we're talking about teaching or whether we're talking about words, it all means that it originates from Jesus Christ, that it's all coming down to Him. And then there's only one other time that we come across that word, and that's being sound in the faith. So if you look at the usages here, what we're seeing is the idea behind the term. So let's define it now. Borrowing a little bit from a standard definition, this is what we can read. It's in good working order. Hence, it means healthy, in sound condition, free from debilitation. So if you think about how the New Testament uses the word, when you think about the idea behind the word, maybe we need to change our question. Instead of asking, is there a sound church in the area, let's point it toward our own church. Is this a sound church? But let's change our term a little bit here and say it this way, in a better use of the question, am I a part of a healthy church? The idea of healthy changes the nuance. Same idea, but it broadens our perspective a little bit. That if we are thinking about a church being in good health, it's not simply focusing on one single issue within the church, but rather looking to see how the church in all of its dealings is performing. So let's ask that question about how we determine whether or not a church is healthy. We know that doctors will tell us that our health is determined a great deal by what we put into our body. And so as we consider what we consume, when you go and get a physical, if your doctor is very thorough, he's going to tell you, especially as you begin to get a little bit older, he's going to say, lay off the sugar, lay off the greasy food. In other words, if it tastes good, lay off of it, is the idea that he's going to give. And he's going to say, you need to replace that with something that's going to encourage good health. That's a pretty good perspective for a church. That as we think about the doctrine, the words, the teaching that we looked at earlier, that what we are seeking to do is to consume those things that are healthy. There's a statement Jesus made that helps us in understanding this. We think about as he was talking about the Pharisees, as Mark records for us in chapter 7, he says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And let's put this to our test. What is Jesus saying we should consume? That would be the commandment of God, the sound doctrine that we receive from Him. What do we exclude? We exclude those things that are going to come from men. So here's our choice. We either consume the commandments and the tradition of men, or we consume the commandment of God. Which is going to make us healthier? Well, Jesus makes that point very clear. He says if we're caught up in the commandments of men, then our hearts are very far from God. And so then if we keep with our illustration, we understand that just as junk food will kill us, if we are just constantly consuming all of these things that are bad for our health and hurting our heart and clogging up our arteries, we also understand that junk doctrine is going to lead to death. That if we are consuming the things that are not the standard of God, that are not the sound doctrine, the sound words, the sound teaching, it'll kill us. We have an example of that. In fact, the apostle puts it pretty much in these terms as he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Let a person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself, that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." So here we find Jesus saying, if you are not doing things my way, by my standard, by my authority, it's going to lead to death. Therefore, we need to make sure that what we're doing is consuming what needs to be consumed. So any church needs to take that very seriously. That as we look at the things that we are consuming, that we approach that in a very serious manner. And what it is not is a cherry-picked list of certain things that a church cannot do, and on that list basing our entire bill of health. Because we don't do this, because we don't support this, because we don't fund this, we've got it. That is not what good health is all about. So what then does that require of a church? A healthy church is going to insist on Bible-based preaching that not only covers the things I just mentioned, but covers the span of God's commands. That what is being given from the pulpit and in our class teaching program is a healthy diet of the doctrines, the words, and the teachings of God. There is no compromise on that. Then we're going to find that the work and the worship of this church is going to follow the biblical pattern. What's not to be done, but also, just as importantly, what is to be done. And so as the church is hearing the teachings of Jesus, understanding, mentally digesting those things, it's determining then what's appropriate. What does God want this group doing as a group of His people? And when that is established, everybody gets busy carrying out that work of God. The understanding that what we're doing this morning is an important part of our work, but it is not the expanse of our work. And when we find what God desires of us, we are busy doing those things. And that the foundation and underlying principle of everything we do is not for our reputation. It's not so that this church will be lauded. Everything we do is for the love and for the glory of God. How are we going to be healthy? We're going to consume the good doctrine of Jesus Christ and exclude everything that would lead from that. Secondly, as we consider our good health, we're going to make sure that all the parts of the body are working together. I guess one of the more difficult things about getting older is when certain parts of your body start refusing to obey you. And it becomes difficult to walk, or you get up in the morning and suddenly your back or your legs or whatever are not willing to do what they're supposed to be doing. What do? We'll go to the doctor. We'll tell him we need something to get these things back in line. As we think about the church, we need to understand that part of being a healthy church is that all of the body is working effectively. And what that means is that if a church is healthy, every single member is doing his or her work. There's an old phrase, I guess it probably came from the business community, but sadly sometimes it applies to churches, is that 10% of the people do 90% of the work. Have you ever been a part of a church like that? If you have, you appreciate what you have here, because I've seen that. I've seen churches where you have only a handful of people who are willing to do the work of that church. Let me tell you, if that's the case, it's not a healthy church. In fact, just the opposite. If we thought about that with our bodies, if suddenly only 10% of our body was doing what it was supposed to, we would realize there is a major medical crisis going on here with that. And thus we understand that same principle is there for a church. What causes that? What are the kinds of things that lead us to have that very spiritually poor health? I think there's a host of reasons. Certainly not an exhaustive list here, but I think we find envy being one of them. If you want to make your way over to 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to note just a couple of verses as we go along. But here's the apostle saying, you've got a problem here in Corinth. And here's how he describes it in verse 15. The foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And his point is, you had all these folks who were jealous and envious of each other over these spiritual gifts. He says, you're completely missing the point about how a body's supposed to operate. Everybody is to be doing their job. And when everybody is doing their job, then the body comes together and operates as it should. Therefore, you don't envy what somebody else is doing. You don't say, well, because I can't stand in the pulpit, I'll do nothing. Or because I can't teach a Bible class, I'll stay at home. That's not it. There's no place for envy. I'm afraid even at times, you've almost got kind of a passive aggressiveness going on. Someone's been offended, and rather than going to the brother and straightening it out as we have the example, it's more of, well, I'll show that church a thing or two. I'll just simply stop doing anything. If they don't treat me right, I'm not going to do my part. What would you do if your body started doing that to you? Well, again, would you not go to the doctor and say, we got to take care of this thing? But yet, once again, we find that poor attitude being demonstrated of saying, if I can't get the glory, or if people are not cooperating with me, I'll not cooperate. Probably the one that strikes us the most, though, and that being most every one of us, is how easy it is to get overcommitted in secular things. To volunteer for every program at school, whether you're student or parent, to take on extra responsibilities at work, to take over coaching and all these kinds of things that are great things on their own. but how easy it is to become so committed to a school or so committed to sports or so committed to work that suddenly I become a part of that 90%, not for a bad attitude, but simply because I don't have time for it. Again, there's a danger there. And yet that's what leads to the lack of good health many times within churches is because of that. Or maybe it's just the idea of no initiative of my own. I'm glad to work as long as somebody will come and take me by the hand and tell me exactly what to do and how to do it. But doing it on my own, no, I can't do that. Or maybe it's just plain old laziness. We just don't want to. Coming and spending a couple of hours, we can handle that. But beyond that, you see, all of these things are signs of poor health. And just as our body will give us warning signs when things aren't going the way they're supposed to, really you can find that within diagnosing the health of a church. Sometimes there's warning signs that these kinds of things are going on. So what then do we do? What we do is what God desires. And the point that he makes over and over again about a congregation and the health of that congregation is you're a collective group. You're working together. You are a body. You are a unit. Therefore, you got to have the same goal. I tried really hard not to use the term I'm about to use, but I couldn't find anything better to replace it, so I'm going to use it anyway. I don't really like the term buy-in because it's so overused, but that's the only idea that I can come up with. We agree that what we're doing is good. We buy into that motivation. And it's not that we're just simply trying to fill a bench or to punch a card or anything like that. We are all about the work of God. And therefore, we want to be a part of that. And going back to the very first lesson in this series that we did on strange things Christians say, we made the point then that we got to understand what it means when we say we are a church of Jesus Christ. He's our goal. He's our motivation. And so if a church is going to be healthy, every member is buying into the plan that God has given us work to do and we are going to do it. And every church is bought into the plan that Jesus Christ is the head and the body operates solely under His authority. And when you have 100% of the members accepting that and 100% of the members actively pursuing that, it is then you get the healthy church diagnosis. Let's stay with that for a minute. Because as we think about our work together, we also understand that the body has got to work in unison. There are times when we can get a disease where the body, in its attempt to get rid of that disease, actually starts fighting against another part of the body. And those kind of autoimmune diseases can cause some really serious damage. And again, we go to the doctor and we say, you got to figure out something to cause this to stop. Well, the same thing is true about our relationship in Jesus. We work in unison with one another. And so God states unity is a part of a very healthy diagnosis. Let's look here in 1 Corinthians 12 one more time. Back up to verse 12, where he says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slave and free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." As Paul leads off this illustration, he says, here you are. You are one. You are functioning, though everybody has a different part, you are functioning as one. You think about all of the one another passages within the New Testament. Love one another, forgive one another, bear with one another. All of that is bespeaking the unity that we are to have as the people of God. And so we must understand the danger to the health of a congregation comes when members of the body are in opposition to one another. You get two people together, and you've got the potential for conflict. You get 250 people together, and it multiplies, right? And so whether you are a church of 10 or whether you're a church of 300, the principle's exactly the same. Every member is seeking unity based on the good doctrine of Jesus Christ. It's not unity for unity's sake. It's unity in the sense that we are all working for that body and goal of being a church pleasing to Jesus Christ. Listen to the warning of the Apostle Paul. He says, "For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." Paul says, you got to make sure you're together. You're singing from the same page on this, that everything is for the glory of Jesus Christ, and everyone is doing his or her work, and everyone is holding tight to that precious unity. So interesting, isn't it? We don't really appreciate unity until disunity occurs. But how much better to learn before that, to control our emotions, to control our tempers, to deal with one another instead of against one another, and like a body in good health, to be unified in what God wants us to do. So what does that mean? It means we treat everyone of the church of which we're a part with care and with respect. We think about how that in every situation we are working for each other's betterment. Go over to verse 22 with me. The apostle says, "The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it." Now listen to this. "That there may be no division within the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it." You see that perspective? We are a body that belongs to Jesus. And Jesus is making sure His body is in good health. And He says, the way you do that is how you treat the other parts of this body. So that means we've got to know each other. We've got to understand each other, know the needs of each other. That only happens in one way. And that is where we are spending time learning about each other, coming to the point in a relationship where we can trust that if I confess my faults to you, I'm not going to get judgment, but instead I'm going to get somebody who A, sympathizes, but B, is there to help me. That's a healthy church. And that's how it's got to work. I tell you, one of the greatest tools that Satan has recycled over the years is when he convinces us nobody cares about us. And I tell you, that can happen to us. Something bad's going on in your life, and you have come to a conclusion about how your fellow Christians ought to handle that, and they don't handle it that way, and you start feeling all by yourself and alone, and it's just like that one animal that gets away from the herd, right? You become very vulnerable. And that's why Paul is emphasizing to the Corinthians and to us, you stay together. You know each other. You respect each other, care for each other. And by all means, you give each other the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, it may be that someone had no idea what was going on in my life. Maybe they had something bigger going on in theirs. May simply be like all of us, they've got a faulty memory and forgot what was going on in our lives. We want to make sure that we're not writing someone off over a slight that may have not even been a slight at all. Instead, we work even harder to build those bonds, to make sure that we are working as a healthy body in unison. Let me close with just one more point. And that's, for good health, we've got clear vision. One of the things about health is we check every body part, right? And so they'll tell us we need to go to the eye doctor once a year, maybe twice a year if you've got a problem going on, get that checked out. Because our vision is very important. Again, one of those things may be underappreciated till we start losing it. What about for a church? For a church, clear vision is very important. And that means having good leadership. That is so true for elders. Church that's going to grow and thrive and be healthy is going to have spiritually minded elders. But that's not the point I want to make this morning. There are capacities where every one of us exercises some kind of leadership. May not be in an official capacity like with an elder, but it may simply be that I am taking on myself a work that, though I'm doing it with no one else in mind other than pleasing God, others are watching me. And by my leadership, they're encouraged to do the same. When you get a good number of people within a congregation active and busy and inviting others to join them in that work, you're going to have leadership. You're going to have people who by their silent example are showing how it's done. And it's going to be a congregation that not simply is taking the opportunities that come along, but rather very much aggressively looking for those opportunities to do good, to promote Jesus Christ. Not that idea that we had earlier, where I've got to be taken by the hand and led along. No, I'm looking for those times that I can do good. And finally, it means that we're thinking about the best way of doing things. You know what's buttressing this entire sermon is that our health depends on staying true to the sound doctrine of Jesus Christ. But staying true to the sound doctrine of Jesus Christ does not mean that we have to do the exact same thing in the exact same way every time. There is a big fear of change in all situations. That's why a lot of businesses go out of business. You've probably had stores in the past that you really loved, but they kind of got stuck. And they did not offer the service that was needed. We can see that in many ways. And a church has got to consider that as well. If there is something that can be done to better our service to God, and it is staying true to the sound doctrine of Jesus Christ, we need to be doing that. And we need to be thinking about the best way to handle those things. That's part of having clear vision. That's part of looking to say, we want to serve Jesus Christ in the very best possible capacity that we can. And when we make sure our feet are firmly planted in the sound doctrine of Jesus Christ, we are going to look for ways that we can please Him in the very most effective way that we can find. No matter the church, no matter its location, every group needs to be doing a spiritual health checkup. We need to be looking to make sure that we are staying true to Jesus Christ, obeying Him, serving one another, and using our opportunities to the very best of our abilities. Thank you so much for your good attention this morning. And I pray that all of us, no matter if we're a member here at Gooch Lane or if you're visiting with us today, the church that you're a part of, that we are looking to make sure that in every way Jesus is being honored. Church is composed of individuals who have made the commitment to Jesus Christ. Strong church is as strong as its weakest member. But we don't want to judge it that way, do we? We want everyone to come to Jesus Christ with the zeal to say, I want to follow You, and the determination never to give up. this morning, if you know the plan of salvation, the grace of God, the mercy that He's shown, the trust that you need to be buried in the waters of baptism for forgiveness, an opportunity is provided. If you need the prayers of this church to be stronger, maybe there's a sin in your life, maybe there's a temptation that is tearing you up, maybe there's just a need for prayer, you can make that known as well. As our tradition is, we're going to give this opportunity for anyone who desires to become a Christian or anyone who needs the prayers of the saints here. As we stand and sing this song, you can let that be known.